Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 546. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up?
Not much, Kevin. Just still fighting this cold I've had pretty much all year so far. So if I have to, I'll possibly be coughing like the way I have the previous two episodes I was on. It is amazing. 3 weeks of
this. Yeah, it's pretty... I've seen some people have it for, like, one of the guys in my office had something for a month.
Yeah.
And I am thankful that I have not fallen into that category yet. But there is still plenty of time left in winter for it to happen.
Yeah.
So I am not going to count my blessings quite yet. I at least sympathize since I know other people going through it. And it sucks. It seems like no matter what you do, you can't really shake it.
Yep.
The one thing that we never seem to shake on this show is talking about professional wrestling. And that will be true of this one. A little bonus content this week. It will be going on our Patreon page. And...
Wait, what?
No, that was just a joke.
I was going to say, wait a minute, when did this happen? Are you not cutting me in on this action?
Oh, man. I'm not sure that it's worth enrolling in that, but we shall see. anywho... doing a little, I mean, we've recently complained a lot about, you know, the best two shows really are on Wednesday nights, during the Wednesday Night Wars. I mean, it's not really so much of a war just because, I mean, recording is such a thing at this point that it's never going to be the same that it was, you know, in the late 90s. When recording five, you know, you weren't recording five different programs on a DVR at any one time if you happen to have cable. So, you know.
I still can't do more than two at a time.
Oh, really?
Really?
I had a better setup with WoW than that.
We did not have that set up at my house. No, it's still the old two shows at once.
Oh my gosh, yeah, even with WoW I had five, if I'm not mistaken. So,
man. I've never heard of such sorcery.
Oh, well, for those of us that can do that, evidently, but even with, what, can you record two things and be watching a third thing?
No, cannot do that either.
Oh, okay, so you've got to be watching one and recording one.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I guess even in that case, well, I guess it sucks if anything else is on in that time slot that you want to record. But there are ways around that, I would suppose. Because does AEW have a replay?
No. They did away with that, too.
Oh. Well, good for them, I suppose. You know, make it a little more must-watch, I would assume. Yeah, we wanted to do a show about this. Thursday night is kind of the logical night. I have long argued that if you're watching both shows at the same time, you're not really watching either show. So I do take the time out to actually watch each show separately and then go from there. Do you do such a thing or do you try to double screen it?
No, I do not do the double screen. I watch one after the other, but... Usually on Wednesday night, unless I have something else going on, which I usually don't.
Okay. Yeah, Wednesday is a pretty idle night for most people, I feel like. So yeah, it's kind of nice to be here on Thursday night to talk a little bit of AEW and NXT the night after. I guess the one thing that's not stuck out to me, even though I just finished watching AEW, my big moment for the evening, I guess, would have been Keith Lee winning the North American Championship over on the NXT brand.
Yeah, I guess that was the big talking point of the evening, although there wasn't one other title change on AEW. But I don't know. It just feels very hollow to me. It feels like we're 2 months after Survivor Series, and Keith Lee has just now won the secondary NXT Championship. It just does not feel like they've really followed up on Keith Lee at Survivor Series well at all.
Gotcha. Well, I guess I understand that, but he is the first person to wrest gold from Undisputed Era. I do think that it is, especially since he bounced Adam Cole into the 12th row a couple of, was that a month ago at this
Yeah,
point?
that was about a month ago. Yes, he did that, which was incredibly impressive. It seemed to be moving him in that direction, but then he took the fall in the triple threat match that got Finn Balor a title shot that Finn Balor ended up losing, and now, I mean, Keith Lee got the booby prize.
Yeah, I mean, he's still got a picture with Triple H, so I mean, I
Yeah,
guess
you didn't get that. Yeah.
I guess he's somewhat happy with with what they're giving him for the time being. And you know, there is plenty of time, but it did seem like they were going for a bigger prize with him. I would agree with you on that point. So kind of settling for the North American Championship is a little lower tier. And I don't know, I do feel like they've kind of had a problem keeping the US champion or the US championship, the North American Championship relevant for the most part. Like they always seem to give it to someone who's really hot, but I guess I just feel like it's been missing a little bit of something the whole time, even though some big names have held the championship, like Velveteen Dream, and Roderick Strong's had a lot of great matches along the way, but I don't feel like he's had that many since he's been champion, if that makes any sense.
It doesn't feel like the North American Championship. He's in with the Undisputed Era a lot. He's in, multiple person tag matches. It never feels like they're focused on him as a North American champion. Except when it's somewhat convenient.
Yeah, it was convenient to give him the belt so that he could, you know, be part of the gold stable, but he was kind of less pushed than the other two, I would say. Well, or three, I guess. Really. Just because I know that I know they don't call him Red Dragon, but I'll call them Red Dragon for the sake of making things easy, in my brain at least. But they've always pushed them as one of the best tag teams, pretty much ever in NXT. So they definitely get plenty of accolades. And I think Roderick's a great part, but you know, his part is always kind of the is sidekicky in a lot of ways, since Adam Cole's the leader. So. Yeah, I guess that isn't the best championship for Lee to get, but maybe since it is not on Roderick Strong's waist, maybe it'll get a little more TV time again.
We will see. Hopefully they've got a pretty good idea what they want to do with Keith Lee's title reign and who they want him to face and have opponents lined up for him.
Yeah, and I mean, we've kind of recently talked about there is kind of secretly a nice amount of big guys in NXT. You know, if you want an easy, to me, win for Keith Lee as champion, I would think that Jackson Ryker would present a nice problem and not be a size mismatch.
Oh, no, 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 no. No, no Gunner. No Gunner. No Gunner. Oh, he's the worst.
I'm not saying it's good. I'm saying that they're, and they've done Dijakovic already.
That is true.
And I wouldn't be surprised if they come back to it at some point. And they've done, have they really done Damian Priest against him yet?
It was the four-way match to get Keith Lee into the North American title match, but I don't think they've had a one-on-one match, nor has Keith Lee had a one-on-one match with one Killian Dane either.
Oh, yeah. There are a lot of big guys in NXT, and I mean, it would be kind of interesting. I feel like I feel like they kind of in Japan, in New Japan, I feel like they more times than not use that Dream Never Openweight Championship for kind of the extra big bruiser kind of guys.
And
I mean, they really could use the North American Championship for the time being in that mold with, you know, I mean, we just rattled off, what, six people on the NXT roster. And I'm sure that there are a couple others that wouldn't be complete size mismatches for him to take on. Yeah, I'll definitely give us some time because they definitely seem to be behind Keith Lee. Even though it is, and I guess I agree with you in that point that it's a bit of a booby prize. I do feel confident that they'll carve out room for him on NXT.
Yeah, I do agree.
And now I'm trying to think of what other things happened on NXT this week that that are worth talking about here.
How about Walter chopping Adam Cole out of his boots, pretty much.
Yeah, poor Adam Cole keeps on between the Keith Lee pounce into the crowd and the Walter chop. He is having a rough day at the office recently. But hey, that's what happens when you're champion. Everyone wants to pick on you. And that's... yeah, that's the price you pay. Plus, they did... Undisputed Era started too many problems for themselves. Like, I do kind of feel like the Keith Lee loss, while they did, was it, Imperium was only there after the match, right? They didn't cause the distraction in that, they only caused the distraction in the tag team match, correct?
Correct, yes.
So, yeah, I kind of like that Undisputed Era has picked up too many enemies at this point. Between Imperium and all the guys on the regular roster, and that it's kind of costing them right now because they've just been general dicks to everyone.
Yeah, that is pretty good, and it fits in with their characters. Yes.
Well, yeah, that too. It does do a great job of fitting in with their characters. So. Because what did we start with? It was just 5 seconds ago. Oh, the Walter chopping of Adam Cole. Are they having a singles match at Worlds Collide, or is that a 8-man match? That's an eight man.
It's an 8-man match, yes.
Yeah, that's always a good way not to have the titles at stake there, in any way, shape, or form, for anyone, and still have a good match. But yeah, I do like they genuine for the most part, haven't they kept NXT UK and regular NXT separate? Like when for the Yeah, for the most part, right? I mean, I know
Yeah, I
that
would say, yeah.
because I would say that Pete Dunne is now not part of NXT UK, even though.
Yeah. Pete Dunne's been exclusive with NXT, I think, most of the last 6 months at least.
Yeah, I would think so. So yeah, the fuck? Why am I losing my train of thought this much tonight? Oh yeah, it should be a fun match without a whole lot of implications. So yeah, the chop was fun. I did like that Imperium cost because that was right before the or right after the tag match, correct?
Correct.
So yeah, I mean it was good timing to have that happen to have that go down. And the Undisputed Era always has to have some slight up their sleeve. So not being able to win the Dusty Cup 2 years running is definitely a slight that they are already running with.
Right, yeah.
And I guess I was trying to pull up a review there to see what it, 'cause I'm still trying to remember. I guess yeah, the ladies match, while I liked it, when you have the ending that you have involved in that one, it's hard to get too invested in it or to say that it was a great match. Like I'd love to see them have a great match because I have not seen their work in Japan. So I would be interested in seeing what those ladies can do if they really get their run with it.
Right, I agree.
And I guess we had the Dusty. I mean, we already kind of talked about the Dusty Cup here. We got Matt Riddle and Pete Dunne are moving on. Are you liking the pairing of those two?
I do like it a lot. I think that no, it was a good idea to pair them up. I loved Riddle's promo to put them up about I'm the bro, you're the bruiserweight. Let's be the broserweights. That was really well done. Yeah, and then I mean, granted, it's only their second match as a team. We just saw, and interestingly, that they let Riddle and Dunn get a clean win over Imperium without relying on, tit for tat Undisputed Era in distraction. So I mean, looks like they're gonna go with Dunn and Riddle as a team. I don't foresee the NXT UK team of Grizzled Young Veterans, winning the Dusty. I don't think there's anywhere much to go with it because I think the NXT UK talent after this week is gonna go back to the UK and not beyond.
Oh, yeah, the regular show. And it was kind of interesting. They did point out that a lot of super teams have won the Dusty Cup over the years. Honestly, it's kind of interesting that Undisputed Era is one of the few actual tag teams to win it.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I see. Well, let's see. The Dusty Final is next week. You get Riddle and Dunn the win there, and they're in line for the shot at Undisputed at O'Reilly and Fish at the Portland Takeover in February. I think that that's a pretty good path to go with that one.
We will have Undisputed Era fretting about losing more gold in the in the meantime. I guess the only other thing that there is to kind of at least quickly we can go over Shayna Baszler, Shotzi Blackheart. You know, it was the match served its purpose. I would say they let Shotzi kind of show what she has, but ultimately she, fell clean.
Right, yeah. No, that was good. I mean, you wouldn't expect Shotzi Blackheart to just get the immediate win over Shayna Baszler, although I'm not 100%. Wouldn't say that Shayna is gonna be staying in NXT forever at this point. I think that it's certainly time for her to move on. It's getting there. If they want to do something with continue to do something with her and Shotzi Blackheart to get, this, get a little bit more out of her and Shayna in NXT. That's well and good. But I don't foresee Shayna sticking around NXT much longer.
That's gonna be one of those interesting things now that NXT is, its own brand. How much shakeup will go all three ways? Because Shayna's kind of faced everyone for the most part on the women's roster in NXT, and probably more than once.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
She definitely needs greener pastures if it's only, to find new opponents. She can completely keep what she's doing going. And I do think that Vince McMahon would get what she's doing too, which is kind of nice. So I guess I wouldn't be surprised. Hasn't there been a few rumors that she was moving along? Have you heard anything about that?
I know that there's a lot of speculation on Shayna not just entering the Women's Royal Rumble, but being in the possible winners club.
That would be a lot of that'd be a lot of fun. I mean, I would not put that out of the realm of possibility. Her and Charlotte would definitely be early clubhouse winners, in my opinion. Is there anyone else that you think would really have a shot at it all? Because, I mean, they haven't really announced that many.
No, they haven't. They've done a really poor job, piss poor job with the Women's Rumble this year. I'm very disappointed in that.
Yeah, because I think I saw somewhere that they only have five people.
Yeah, I mean the entire roster. Well, of course, I mean there's no there's well, not, it's not like with the men that you could say, "I declare I'm in the Royal Rumble," because there's still a lot less women, so they all pretty much have to be in the damn match, except for the four women in the two title matches. But yeah. It's really disappointing. I mean, you can imagine it'll be a mix of Raw, SmackDown, and NXT women. There'll be more, there's just simply going to be probably be more spots open for NXT women. As far as other winners are concerned, a lot depends on, Rousey's coming back for WrestleMania season or not. I don't know what they'll, but that's an opponent for Becky for the Raw Women's Championship, as I believe Shayna would be too. I don't know exactly. I mean, really, the best opponent for Bayley at WrestleMania, if they, is probably Sasha, to be honest, because it's just, once again, we talked about this SmackDown's women division being pretty shallow at this point.
No.
As far as the pool is concerned, so yeah, I guess I'd put Sasha in consideration.
Yeah, she would make a lot of sense. You know, like you said, it would make more sense against Bayley than running her another time against Becky.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess Charlotte's always, you know, there, but they've got a real issue with Charlotte and what to do with her now, because there's very little left for her right now, and she just seems to be like, I don't think that they'd leave her off of the card for WrestleMania, but man, I don't know what to do with her.
Yeah, I mean, because she has been the face of the division, and you know, they keep on trying to have people up on the Big Four's level, but no one's really pulled through on a regular basis to kind of mix in with the four of them. You know, whether it's been through injuries or, other goings on, they don't seem to be able to get anyone to be on their level. And yeah, like, Charlotte's just kind of hanging there. You know, when they had Ronda Rousey, they had, you know, they had an extra opponent for her, but that is really not in the books, at least for the time being.
Yeah, no. And if Ronda does come back, I mean, she'll be earmarked for Becky. And
yeah.
So
that doesn't really help Charlotte this year.
That doesn't help Charlotte, although maybe then Shayna Baszler doesn't have a dance partner. Although, you know, getting that extra women's match on the card at WrestleMania, although, you know, it'd be better than probably a lot of things that they would do.
It would be better than most multi-person tag matches.
Right, but the women's tag titles certainly have to also be in the equation. Although they've already had Charlotte run after those with two different partners and fail.
Yeah, I mean, just because she has had somewhat of a simmering feud with Kairi Sane and Asuka, I would not put that out of the realm of possibility with, I suppose, a third partner. Because she only went against the Kabuki Warriors with Becky Lynch, if I'm not mistaken.
There was also the TV feud where she was teaming with Natalya.
Oh, okay. She went at... Oh. I didn't think that... I thought that was against another team for some reason.
No. They got their shot at the Kabuki Warriors, I believe.
Oh, okay. I guess, well, the only other option would have been the Iconics, and the Iconics didn't really defend the championships. And then disappeared off the face of the earth themselves. Yeah, I guess it'll be interesting to see what happens with the ladies division moving forward. So I guess that kind of leaves us to move to AEW. And I will admit, I did like the championship celebration of one Adam Page after winning the tag team championships with Kenny Omega.
Yeah, no, that's another thing that was really good. I mean, they had a good, you know, a really good tag match, and in the end, yo, Hangman really did do it all by himself. And then, you know, in his mind, the Young Bucks came out to steal the spotlight and make it about themselves, and it is seeming like Hangman's issues with the Elite do center around the Young Bucks, and he definitely wants nothing to do with them. And no, it was, and the drinking of beer and body surfing, that was really good for the character Kate Page has been playing, I think.
It really fits in with who he has presented himself as. And it was it definitely presented something of a spectacle, and it wasn't something that I did a little bit of a rewatch before you were able to hop on, and I couldn't help but think to myself that I felt a little bit bad for SCU, because I feel like they've more been relegated to like backstage segments during their championship reign than is actual champions of the tag team division.
Their title reign, I think, in the end fell flat. They didn't really focus on as much. I mean, they got the one win over the Young Bucks that was completely overshadowed by the stupid dark order angle. And other than that, no, they really didn't get to, you know, defend the belts much on TV. They ran the Scorpio Sky Challenge of Jericho to fill some time on TV, but even that wasn't really followed up on. That wasn't followed up on at all, actually. It was kind of, the SCU title reign and end was something of a self-fulfilling prophecy on itself. They didn't really, they weren't really behind it, but with this whole Hangman Omega team and then the brewing hostilities with the Young Bucks, I think they do have a story to dig their teeth into and run with. It's good that they're finally having the Elite all together in various segments over the last 4 or 5 weeks of episodes, because really, in the beginning of AEW, they were all off in different directions, so anyone who, you know, wasn't a longtime viewer of their content, let's just say, you wouldn't know that Cody, Kenny, the Young Bucks, and Omega even had any kind of a relationship. It was only spoken about, you know, briefly. So they're at least making it now an issue front and center. We know, you know. And so that's very good, and you know, Hangman's playing his part very well, and Omega and the Bucks are playing their part very well as they don't know what's really bothering him. He's being very passive aggressive about it and not coming out and saying what's really bothering him about it. And of course, it's festering up inside of him, and it's going to lead to his eventual heel turn.
And it's being very, like you said, it's being very well played. Like people talk about not being able to play the long game these days, quote unquote. But this one definitely has the feel of something that's going to play out over a little longer. You know, they're planting the seeds now, but they're not going to pull the trigger like, you know, next week. Because I do feel like the WWE, when they kind of do these kind of situations, it blows up pretty quick. Unless they're going to keep the team together for a longer time period. And this one feels like it's going to be kind of a mid-range one, you know what I mean? Like maybe a month or two? Or do you think it's going to last longer?
I don't know. Itself, I don't see it. But the pay-per-view is at the end of February, so I guess that would be about a month or a little over. I mean, they gotta pull the trigger on the full Adam Page heel turn. Yeah, I don't see them making it
Yeah, so I
at a certain point, you're just waiting too long. Well, I guess. Well, you know what? Then again, I mean, we don't see slow burn stories that often, but they've been slow burning it since for a little while now. So no, it's good, and I think that yeah, we'll get the full page. Heel turn in the not that far off future.
Now this was something that when I was watching a part of AEW last night, I did not have the sound on, so I did not get to take in the Britt Baker slandering of Tony Schiavone in its full glory until right before we recorded. You know, that is definitely one way to take the character. They've been.
Oh, sorry. Just distracted with something. Yeah, they've been turning her heel for a little while. Although I don't know if it was the situation, the acoustics, if you know there were timing issues, but she did not seem like she was committing to that promo at all. It was not a good promo.
She repeated herself a couple of times with the Starbucks. I mean, she kind of did variations of the Starbucks thing twice, which really wasn't necessary. I just don't think she's that great of a promo. Honestly, like, I don't know if I don't know if she doesn't believe in what they're doing with the character right now, or where, you know, or if she's chosen to do this, you know, you should be committed to doing it. But yeah, I guess I didn't think that she was that great when she was on the headset. I don't think that was last week. I feel like it was a couple weeks ago. And even her promos as kind of a babyface weren't that great. And this one definitely seemed like, just because she was talking about being an example, it reminded me of Bailey and Sasha, honestly, to boot right off the bat. Did that pass through your mind at all?
She's like being all catty with, and then buddy with the next.
Oh, I just mean recently when Bailey turned heel, she was talking about being, you know, a perfect example for everyone.
Yeah, it's definitely derivative for sure. It feels like that. It's again, it doesn't really feel all that genuine, and I'm not really feeling like. You know, AEW has not been around long enough to have all these heel turns going on. at once. I mean, the Hangman stuff has been done well, but you know,
yeah,
the division's development has been dog shit, basically in general. So, yeah, and to take who in many ways. Should be the face of the division, and then turn her heel. Even though she's not a good promo, and she's not all that great of a worker. All she's got is her looks in the dental thing, which is just a terrible thing to say.
It's really been one of those things for me that. I swear I enjoyed her matches better when I saw her in a couple of matches at AIW previously, and I'm like, was I drunk? And I wasn't. When I saw her other matches that I thought she was good in, like well, it's the article that I'm looking at says, "Hey, it was better than last week's match," which, as they admitted, was not hard to accomplish.
Women's matches that Brandi isn't in tend to be a bit better than the ones that she isn't in. That she is in, I should say. Right now, it's not a good division. And as I said, it's just AEW has not been around long enough for audience to have real emotional connections to characters turning back and forth at any fast enough of a rate. I'm not into this heel turn right now.
Yeah, I agree. Because with Bayley, you had at least established for a few years that she was, even on the main roster, she had been established as the goody-goody. Even if they hadn't done all that much more with her, they'd at least established that point. So her turning heel and saying that she's an example is one thing. Yeah, Britt Baker's been on TV at best for, has it been 3 months now?
Oh,
4 months?
four. Yeah, it's been 4 months. No, it's three and a half, I guess, is what we call it.
Okay.
We're on the borderline of four, I guess. Three
Yeah,
quarters.
so, but again, just to kind of reiterate your point, though, that it just isn't enough time to be doing the amount of bouncing around that they're doing with her, well, and yes, yeah, she isn't the only character, I guess, doing it, which doesn't help them at all.
We've talked about it, and specifically in that in with the women, we've literally had full character makeovers within a week of them being on TV as something else. Brandi, Allie, you know.
Yeah, that the ladies division is a mess, and I mean, I guess I don't think that it helps that there isn't anyone that's really that great. I really feel like the WWE did a good job of it. I think it's been made apparent in the 3.5 months or whatever exactly it is that the WWE has snapped up the better quality women's talent as opposed to AEW. I mean, they clearly had a head start, but AEW's had enough time to try to sign some of these people that weren't signed yet. And yeah, I don't know. I like Hikaru Shida, but she's still not like, I'd still pick any of the four horsewomen over her, easily.
Yeah, there's no one in AEW I wouldn't pick the Four Horsewomen or Asuka or Rhea Ripley or Kairi Sane
Or Toni Storm.
or Io Shirai or Toni Storm or Bianca Belair. No, it's no the AEW women's division is awful. I mean, it really is that bad. I mean, and you got Shida and Riho who are I feel like they're at least the next level down from the Japanese women that WWE already has signed. WWE did a pretty good job of taking the top talent from whatever Japanese women promotions there are. I'm not as well versed in that aspect, but it does feel like they took basically the top three Japanese women wrestlers of the decade and just brought them over here and then AEW picked the kind of the next level down. Again, still not sold on Rio at all. I don't think that it's just not clicking with her. And it's not a language barrier thing because, well, of the three women in WWE that we've already mentioned, it's a talent and charisma thing that she just does not have at anywhere near the level of Asuka, Kairi, or Io.
Well, in that, they really haven't given people that much mic time. You know, outside of, you know, Cody Rhodes gets a talking segment, you know, but a lot of their secondary characters haven't gotten that much to me in general. Like, the Dark Order's gotten some stuff, which to me has helped flesh out their characters a little bit more. But honestly, just because they're still so early in things, it would really help to have moments like that more frequently. You know, maybe she has better charisma, but I don't know if I could properly rate it because I don't know if they've ever really talked to her.
No, they really haven't. They've done those weird segments where they've had, what's his name, the Michael Nakazawa translating for her, but, you know, who the hell is he? You know, it's like, that's another thing they've had issues with. It's like, this guy who's, you know, Kenny's buddy, we don't know what he would, he wrestles sometimes, we don't know what he really does, and Pac has beaten him up twice, but there have been, very little follow-up both times. Yeah, I digress about that, but yeah, but going back to Rio, yeah. No, they've done very little with her. They've done very little to make the audience care about her. And I'm judging her based on not not seeing, all that she has to offer. As far as, you know, the promotion setting up a proper presentation with her. I mean,
I'm not opposed.
My favorite match of hers that I've seen is the match that they did, you know, set up fairly well with her and Nyla Rose on the first episode of Dynamite to decide the first champion. I actually like that a lot. I mean, from a believability standpoint, it was a kind of a hard match, but I thought they did a good job with the large versus small story and her and her fighting back and from underneath and pulling off the miracle win. But from there just hasn't been much else.
Yeah, it's all been downhill since the start, which is not great. I don't know. Like, I'm not saying she is as charismatic as them, because it definitely doesn't shine through. And she doesn't have, like, it does really help that Asuka and Kairi Sane really have characters. You know, Kairi has re-engineered hers to be a little more heelish. Asuka definitely has kind of turned up that tendency a little bit. I would argue that she has always been a little bit heelish, if you're calling yourself the Empress of Tomorrow, just from the Jump Street. But I mean, I have no idea, you know, I don't know what her deal is. Like, you know, I don't know if she wants to be a pirate. Like, I mean, she kind of has that schoolgirl, Japanese schoolgirl vibe going for her, but I don't know if she'd lean into that, or that's just
do not lean into that at all. that's kind of part of the problem, that she absolutely does look like a child out there, and it's not just her height.
I guess I didn't think she was that.
That's gonna lead to the wrong type of fandom. Not something you want to encourage going to your shows if they're already going.
Well, fair enough. One other thing that I guess at least match-wise, I'm okay skipping over pretty much everything else except for Jon Moxley taking on Pac in the main event. because the other matches were just, you know, okay, I guess. Like,
actually, you know what? Before we get there, I guess I want to talk about the and this is in somewhat in your wheelhouse, maybe even more than mine, but the aesthetic of the entire show on the boat. I feel like he did such a good job making it look, making the deck of this boat look like an outdoor arena. You couldn't even tell they were on a fucking boat. It's like, and I don't think that was a good thing. I think it didn't look that much different than, say, you know, I know we're talking about a long time ago, and there's not, some fan bases changed and everything, but it looked like those Spring Break Nitros.
Oh. I guess I was okay with that. Like, to me, I guess you could tell that they definitely weren't in an arena because... Yeah. Stuff was flapping around everywhere.
Yeah, I like that, but I don't know if they necessarily got the most out of the ship. Now, I know that the ship was docked when they did it, because I don't know necessarily if, you know, while filming a wrestling show for television, you could actually be on a moving boat. Although, I guess maybe at some points during the show when they were doing the cruise, when they were doing live matches, the boat had to have been moving. I'm not really... sure about
well
the logistics of that
at least in my in my experience one whole experience on a cruise if you were docked at night, you were docked for the duration of the night.
Yeah.
Like the times that we were at sea and still going when we were sleeping, like we were, you know, we didn't leave port that late at night. Like if we were out at sea still and we kept on going, cool. But yeah, I would imagine that they were in port for the rest of the evening. But I could be wrong. And it is a little bit, I kind of forget that it's a little bit of a shorter cruise. I ended up going on a 7-day, and I believe that one's only 4 days. Which, I think I'd get a little wrestling. I might get a little wrestling doubt there. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I was, you know, looking at it. I was looking at the schedule. I don't know if I'd want to do a show cruise. You know, a rock cruise, anything of that sort, a musical cruise or anything like that sort. I mean, I wouldn't mind if, like a Disney cruise that has, like, a shows at you know, the same musical show, like, at 1 at 8, 1 at 10, 1 at, you know, whatever, something like that.
Right.
But to have a schedule of things, okay, this is going on this time, this is going on this time. It's a one-time-only thing. You gotta be this. There's this wrestling show over here, there's this comedy thing over here, the times are overlapping. That sounds kind of stressful, honestly, and the cruise is supposed to be relaxing, so I'd probably go for and the fact that cruise seemed to be overwhelmingly, you know 25 to 40 to 35 white male.
Yeah, I
could see women were there, but...
Oh, right.
Yeah, but it just... seeing it in action, I actually, you know, so up close, because I didn't really see as much from last year's cruise that, you know, wasn't... that none of it was actually aired on television.
Oh, right.
it just looked like... I don't know if I don't think I would enjoy this. You know, I mean, I love wrestling and everything, but if I wanted to do a cruise, because I've never done a cruise before, I think I'd opt for, you know, your traditional cruise that has, you know, shops, restaurants, maybe a casino, a movie theater. Maybe they've got some type of a show that goes on, but not like anything, you know, pressing.
Oh, right.
Yeah, but, you know, activities, games, you know, game room, and you know, shuffleboard or whatever the heck else.
They fit a lot of.
Choose what you do when you want to do it, and if you want to do nothing, you can do absolutely nothing and not be bothered.
And you know what?
It's
I will.
A hard rock cruise. It's going to be loud all the time.
I would imagine it is. It kind of kills me the laudits or the popularity that Jericho talks about with the band still. It kind of cracks me up because I still don't think he's a terribly good singer, but that's just my opinion. And evidently, I am in as a minority according to him. I do think to get back to your point that they could have leaned into the shipness of it a little bit more. Because they did make it look a little bit more like a regular wrestling setup. But I do feel like, and again, I'm kind of going off of one cruise experience, but it does seem like they're generally pretty similar in their setup. That you kind of have, you know, it really is a stage area, and it's not much more than, you know, usually two or three decks deep. So there isn't too much to lean into, I guess, as far as the setting goes. Like, you'd really need to film, because that part is usually surrounded by ship. So, like, it's not like you can really see, you know, visualize the sea. You'd really have to do shots overboard. And I mean, I did feel like they kind of had, did they have the ladies in the beach guards towers?
That was
Or
last
was
week's show.
it, oh, that was last week's show. Okay.
Yeah, no, they didn't. I think. Now, I don't know what laws and rules are regarding having a helicopter above head, you know, shooting, you know, overhead shots. But
Oh.
I think overhead shots would have actually helped.
Yeah, that would have been pretty cool. They definitely could have done even something from the upper, you know, because you could see that the seating was tiered if they had taken a camera from the upper deck and shot from there, even if it was just a couple of shots where they cut them in somewhere. You know, or just went to those cameras at some point, I think it would have given it a little bit more of a distinct look that I guess I would definitely think that it would look different than your average wrestling ring because you're still going to be closer to it, you know, just because it's just a smaller environment than I mean, I know that they're doing smaller arenas, but that's the smaller arenas are still much larger than that deck.
It would certainly be. I mean, once again, it definitely looked. It's definitely something like that no one's tried in a long time, or certainly no one's tried the cruise ship aspect, but no one's it looked different than, you know, most else you've seen. But I've also, of course, you know, seen the I've been a fan long enough to see those Spring Break Nitros, and that was the vibe I got out of
Oh,
it. And again,
yeah.
as I said, they could have done more to let you see that they were on an actual ship doing this. Now, granted, the ship wasn't moving, so it's not as impressive, but
It's also probably safer for the wrestlers.
I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is, yes.
I mean, I know that it at some points just feels like you're not moving anywhere because of the like I get and I didn't really get I didn't have a problem with motion sickness at all. But you know, you're able to do activities when the ship's moving. So I would think that they'd be able to wrestle were they at sea. It would be a little jarring if they were docking and or taking off during the match though. I would think you either need to be docked and or in motion already when things get underway. Yeah, and that was kind of funny. I was gonna try to save that end of the topic for after Moxley and Pac.
You were gonna ask about that? I'm sorry.
So I did laugh when you brought that up because it was definitely on my mind. Like, because I do love that stuff. Like, that's one of those things that I'm always a little bit bummed that I don't watch NXT UK more, just because their arenas they have more character to them because they're older. They're probably not as nice to view wrestling in as some of the arenas that NXT in the US takes place in. But they definitely have a cooler architecture, and it does give it a fun feel when the setting's different than, I mean, you could really say a sanitized arena experience. Like, they do great things with the outside of the arenas now, but it doesn't really impact what the interior space is that much. Like, it doesn't change that much. You can throw a pirate ship into your stadium, but it really doesn't change the stadium that much. You know, it gives it something iconic, but it doesn't change the layout of of a stadium, really. But I think the UK, especially some of the takeovers that I've seen, like the Royal Albert Hall, and I'm trying to think if I liked that, because I didn't see the most recent one from Blackpool, but I feel like I liked the building that took place in the first go
Yeah,
around.
it was similar to it was kind of similar to Royal Albert Hall in some ways. It's probably, more of a classical concert hall, opera hall type setting than what we would consider like a concert hall here.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we have places like that here, but we're not that cultured.
Well, I don't think the WWE would want to settle for something that small, but I feel like some of these other, maybe some of these independents could try to do places like those that are maybe 5,000 seat or something like that. But yeah, I guess to get to the main event here, I guess it seemed pretty obvious to me off the jump that Jon Moxley would win against Pac, just because it makes sense from a feud standpoint.
It made total sense. It didn't make much sense to run Pac as the challenger for Jericho on a pay-per-view when he's already got the Kenny story going, which will be interesting to see how they work with Kenny, with him being tag team champion and in the single suit with Pac. But no, I mean, it was a fine match. They told the eye injury story, pretty well. But still, even with that, it just it felt like it felt like a foregone conclusion that Moxley was still going to win regardless because of the issue with Jericho's already there.
Yeah. That's a pretty good way to wrap that up.
I mean,
Honestly,
interesting though.
like there I you know there isn't that much to say. I did really like that Jericho is just like, nah, both these guys are kind of nuts and they're kind of badass. So if I face either of them, it's going to be a tough matchup. And he put in his lines about depending upon the inner circle, which obviously means interference if necessary, to help negate the other person's t the other opponent's toughness. But that did feel very candid and free to me of Jericho to say.
Yeah, no. He came from the school of, put over your opponent before you face them. Don't knock them down. Don't overknock them, because then you're just, because then you just demean the entire match in general. He could have gone after Moxley harder as far as the level of hatred between the two that's developed. But Jericho was good on commentary. I was just about to say it's kind of interesting to me that for the second pay-per-view in a row, AEW is running with a main event that was at one time a mid-card feud in WWE. Or a mid-card match in WWE.
I guess I felt like everyone thought that both guys deserved a little bit better. And they are certainly getting that in a new wrestling promotion. And, to even go back to the whole not getting a whole lot of mic time, like, I don't even feel like John Moxley has gotten that much mic time is the general whole. Like, I know that he's had some mic time, but he still hasn't done a lot of talking, in my opinion, in AEW. But they've done a good job of presenting him as a badass, so it doesn't... that kind of helps a lot more. Show off your character just in your matches.
Yeah, no, no. I mean, there's plenty of time for promo. I mean, we've still got, I think, what's it? 5 weeks until the next pay-per-view. I think the pay-per-view is literally on the 29th of February, just the last day of February. So, yeah, they've got plenty of time for promos, and promo-wise, Jericho and Moxley will knock it out of the park, and they'll do strong angles, and it's a good main event to have, and it wouldn't surprise me if Moxley walks out the new champion.
Okie dokie. Well, we are the champions of the podcast for this week. So I guess it's time to wrap things up. We have certainly gone plenty of time here. I am at DeFrango11. He is at StuntCali. The brand is at StuntGranny. Rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or wherever you happen to listen to us. And no, I am not forgetting the Bell Time beer of the show, because yours truly has just had water tonight. So there is that. I am, I'm going to get ready for Sideswipe Brewing's 6th anniversary party on Saturday. They are certainly one of my favorite breweries here in town. I do not think that I have hidden my enjoyment of their beers over the years. And, I think they have a couple of good ones on tap, and I can't think of what they are, but I'm looking forward to it. So, yeah, listen to either OPA that is already posted, or you can go ahead and listen to Stunt Granny Audio 545 for another beer review if you need one for the week. So, have a good night.